that would expand Islam in Kenya. Obama could have an increasingly difficult time convincing U.S. voters he is anything but pro-Islam. As I have already noted, Obama's many top advisors who have decidedly anti-Israel histories will be a serious detriment in attracting the Jewish voters Obama needs to win. So far, the Tony Rezko trial has not implicated Obama, but Rezko's use of Middle Eastern money to help the Obamas buy their dream home property could surface at any time and cause the Obama campaign serious problems. A particular concern is the fact that Rezko appears to have gotten funds to help Obama on the house transaction by drawing from the $3.5 million loan made to Rezko by Nadmi Auchi, the Iraqi billionaire identified in at least one government report as a key Saddam Hussein bagman in the oil-for-food scandal. Examining Obama's past, one finds many ties to pro-Islam, Palestinian-supporting causes, and people that will need to be explained to U.S. voters in the general election. Reverend Wright's anti-Israel rhetoric helps explain his closeness to radically anti-Israel Louis Farrakhan. So far, Obama has minimized his own participation in Farrakhan's 1995 Million Man March on Washington. But his association with William Ayers is a problem, both because of Ayers' domestic terrorist activities as a leader of the Weather Underground and because of Obama's connection to the use of grants from Ayers' Woods Fund to support the Arab American Action Network and Rashid Khalidi, the radically pro-Palestinian professor. Ali Abenema, the founder of the radically pro-Palestinian website entitled Electronic Intifada, has written extensively that before Obama stepped onto the national scene as a U.S. senator, Obama had been decidedly pro-Palestinian in his views. Similarly, when voters come to understand the roots of black liberation theology in the radical black rage writings of authors such as Stokely Carmichael, who penned Black Power in 1967, Obama will be seen to have accepted Reverend Wright's more anti-American views because those views are central to the theology itself. Whether or not voters believe black liberation theology demands viewing Jesus Christ as a black, whose revolutionary teachings were aimed at overthrowing the imperialist power of the day, the ancient Romans who were then colonizing Israel, the religion does profess this view. That Obama was baptized and married into Christianity at Trinity United Church of Christ and yet did not comprehend the radical nature of black liberation theology is simply not credible, especially not when everyone knows that Obama has sufficient intelligence to have obtained a law degree at Harvard. Obama knew what Wright was preaching. Indeed, he joined that church because of it. Even if Trinity United gave Obama identification with an African-American Christian church that helped him advance in the leftist politics of Chicago, this same association will continue to plague Obama in the general election. A campaign of personality requires, by its very nature, putting a mask on a candidate. Jack Kennedy knew this and took pains not to be portrayed as a war hero. When JFK was asked what he did in World War II to become a war hero, he typically answered dismissively that the Japanese sank his boat. John Kerry, in direct contrast to JFK, whom he emulated, sailed into Boston Harbor for the Democratic National Convention, surrounded by a supporting group of swift boat veterans, and looking like George Washington crossing the Delaware. Neither JFK nor John Kerry needed to present himself as a war hero to qualify to be commander-in-chief. Abraham Lincoln campaigned for president with a modest comment about his limited experience in the little